Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Close Up Talk Radio, the unique internet broadcast series that brings you together with some of the most amazing, important, and interesting individuals from the worlds of business, industry, travel, art, and entertainment. From company owners, CEOs, and presidents, to the technical wizards behind the scenes who create the magic that make their company's products and services so special. Here's your opportunity to hear firsthand the fascinating stories of how it all happened from those who actually made it possible. This is Close Up Talk Radio.
And welcome back to Close Up Talk Radio. This is your host, Skip Asters. It's great to have you with us. And we are live, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on February 22nd, 2013. Everybody having a great day, we hope. We are welcoming back to a very special episode of our show, Peggy Sumal of Eugene Modern Dance. If you had an opportunity to hear some of the previous episodes where we've done some great conversation with Peggy about dance, about modern dance, and so much more at her fabulous studio that she has in Eugene, Oregon, this is an amazing individual. She has credentials that are beyond belief. Her achievements and extensive background literally spanned over 50 incredible years, earning a bachelor's degree from the Juilliard School and master's degree from UCLA. Peggy graduated with the highest scores. Even before completing her degrees, Peggy had already built up an impressive resume of instruction, choreography, and performance with many different companies, including her own. She's driven by passion and sheer talent. She's been sharing her story with us on Close Up Talk Radio for several weeks now, and we're excited to welcome her back. You know, she's also choreographed over 60 nationally performed works, and along with her outstanding choreographic work, Peggy always makes time to share her passion for dance by instructing at countless universities, dance schools, and companies, including Juilliard and Herbert Berghoff's Actors Studio, UCLA, and Oregon State, to name a few. And we're very excited to welcome her back to Close Up Talk Radio. Peggy, good evening and welcome back. It's great to have you back with us here on the show. How are you today?
Very good, thank you. Very good.
You're doing well?
Yes, actually, I'm recovering from a cold. It's one that has been going around for 3 weeks.
Yeah. Either they have one or, you know.
But I'm at the tail end of it, thank goodness.
That's one of the better tails there are.
I haven't been sick in years. I mean, remember what it was like, but anyway.
This year of 2013, this 2012, 2013, has touched everybody. Either somebody is.
Everybody.
Even the healthiest of people are. It's just there's so many strong strains of this, that, and the other. But you have the advantage of having years of dance under your belt, so I'm sure, you know, your overall health on a regular basis is quite good. That's why you haven't been ill for a number of years. You're dancing, you're physically active, you're out there doing your thing, right?
Right, exactly.
Just another side effect of dance is good health.
Right.
Yeah. So tell us again about a little bit more of your experience, introducing you to our audience for folks who haven't had a chance to hear some of the previous broadcasts.
Yeah, well, I could start by just describing what modern dance is.
Yeah.
Modern dance found its beginnings in the early 1900s. It was basically a movement that rebelled against ballet, which was very famous, that it still is very famous, but it rebelled against ballet and the show dance of the time. There was a lot of, you might call it, it wasn't really musicals. They were, you know, these little routines that went on in bars and grills and across the United States. Remember, you're in the 1900s, so it was a rebellion, and Isadora Duncan and Louis Fuller and Humphrey Weidman were some of the early pioneers, including Wigmann from Germany. Modern dance in this time is an ever-changing dance form. Like modern art or contemporary music, it's explorative and experimental and finds its own language to express its innermost feelings and thoughts. Some forms of modern dance incorporate cultural influences, classical techniques, and movements of our present generation. I have often felt blessed to have found this form of expression, and even though the road has not been easy, I know that it's right when I can step into my studio, warm up, and come up with something that's exciting and new. It always needs work and refinement, but in the end, it's worth it. We're in a world of thoughts and cell phones and computers. Can you imagine what a release it would be to place yourself in the physical world of complete expression and freedom from the tensions and demands of our contemporary society? Moving the body, as it was meant to be, can be incredibly joyful and fulfill a love of life. And actually, I believe modern dance, or dance in general, was one of the first art forms. There was a lot of drumming, and I'm not sure if really music was the first or dance, but I think dance was the very, very first art form that existed on the earth millions of years ago. So it's quite old, actually, and it's gone through lots of changes. So we've come up to modern dance and postmodern dance and beyond that. So that's a little introduction.
Yeah. Now, tell us about it. You're an award-winning dancer, choreographer, instructor, and you've dedicated your life to your craft, and your experiences have literally taken you across the country and have earned you numerous accolades and great respect in the world of dance, haven't you?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about
that. Yes, I started in New York, and at the age of 30, I made a vow when I was very young. I was about 14, and I went to Montauk Point and looked at the ocean. It was the first time I ever saw the ocean. I had been to Coney Island and Brighton Beach, but not the big wide ocean that Montauk Point offers. And I made a vow to myself that someday, early in life, I would leave New York and be connected with that kind of experience. And I got an offer to go to Cleveland, Ohio, Fairmont School of the Creative and Performing Arts, as it was called at the time. Spent a year there and was able to take my dancers with me. We stayed there for 1 year, and then the school folded for economic reasons. Then I consolidated and formed a duet company and went on to Boulder, Colorado, Western Washington University, University of Iowa. And then I finally decided I was traveling with the person who had a master's in dance, and that's what you needed at the time to get a job or a position in the university. I decided at the time I'm going to get my own degree, so I went down to UCLA and got my degree there, my master's. But as life would have it, I met my husband-to-be, and we decided we wanted a child. So we looked at all places and decided that Eugene, Oregon was the best place. At the time, it had great education and financially well stable. So we moved to Eugene with, unfortunately, couldn't have our own child, so we adopted a child from Peru, Lima, Peru. We moved to Eugene and bought a house here for half the price it would cost in California. Of course, it's always been that way. And I've loved it ever since and have had many inspirational moments here. And there are great, great places of beauty. And everyone, every time you go out, it's really inspiring. You see people running or walking, outside breathing, and really enjoying, you know, the outdoors, not just in Eugene, but throughout all of Oregon and the whole area. So it's very precious. And we have very tall trees, some as tall as a 5-story building or even a 10-story building. So I've greatly enjoyed my stay here and been very inspired and created a lot of pieces based on the environment that I'm in presently in. And I never regretted leaving New York and coming all the way out here, slowly but surely. So that's a little
especially when you hear about the blizzards we have here.
Yeah, and that's becoming more frequent. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you say it's because of global warming, that it's more, you know, when it comes either lots of snow or no rain. It's just more unpredictable and varied. So
yeah.
But our weather out here has been pretty good. We haven't had any snow at all so far, and just we're kind of in the 40s and sometimes 50s,
mm-hmm.
because we are in a rainforest. So
we have somewhat of a
tropical aspect to our climate. And a lot of people think, oh, Oregon rain. Well, it's not that kind of rain. It's very beautiful. We have rainbows. I don't want to drag any more people out here, but we have rainbows and just beautiful. There are beautiful aspects, and of course everything grows because of the rain. And when it rains, I don't use an umbrella or a raincoat. I just go out and enjoy the rain.
That's it.
And I go inside. Yeah, but it doesn't even faze me one bit. Yep.
That's terrific. So
yeah.
Let's talk about some of the you know, the experiences too of Eugene Modern Dance. We want to let people know that, again, as an award-winning dancer, choreographer and instructor, that they have an opportunity to train with you with Eugene Modern Dance. Tell us about that unique and very special opportunity that exists, training with somebody who's devoted so many years and is such an expert in such a fabulous field of the arts, and how they can connect with you and actually partake in some of this phenomenal and unique instruction.
Well, Eugene Modern Dance was first started in about 1992. I moved here in 91, and that's when we built the studio. My husband was a composer and musician, and so we built it for music and dance. So it has a sprung wooden floor, and it has five sides, about 600 square feet, and it was built for to have, the reason for five sides is to have good acoustics, which it has. In fact, it had too many good acoustics, so we had to put in a little triangles up in the ceiling to absorb extra sound. At any rate, Eugene Modern Dance right now is a group of local Eugene women, ages 16 to 69, who for the last 8 or 9 years have been studying and performing together. And this group comes from different professions and walks of life, and evolved in my studio in the southeast hills of Eugene, where they developed into the fine performers they are today. We're a nonprofit organization that performs for the sheer joy of dancing and are open to new students joining our group. And please visit www.eugenemoderndance.com for more information. And many pieces, what basically I do is I get students in there, I get them going, I give them lots of encouragement, and if they're interested in, they don't have to do it, but if they're interested in performing, I'll find outlets for them to perform in. And there are many places we can perform in this area, and we've done it, many arts festivals. We've done it at the Holt Center, performing in the lobby of the Holt Center, which is also a great honor. We've done it at the Holt Center Silva Center, which is a really big hall in Eugene. We've done it at the Eugene Celebration and Cosmic Pizza and many other venues, including assisted care facilities and in my own studio, which can fit about 40 people. So when the inspiration is up, I'll come up with a new piece and ask people if they're interested, work out their schedules, and work the best time for them to come in, and we'll prepare it and get it going. And that's how I do it.
What do you think makes you unique? Because there's so many places where people can study and so many people they can study with, and there's a lot of dance schools that have popped up and things of that nature. You see it everywhere. But what do you think really makes Eugene Modern Dance different and stand out, if they're considering?
Well, yeah, it's not that big of a studio. It's small. I mean, if you go to colleges and community colleges or universities, you're going to have maybe 50 people in a class, whereas I only have 5 or 6. So every student's going to get much more individual attention, and sometimes I even have 2 or 3, and I'm willing to even teach one for the same price as it would be for a normal class, because I enjoy it so much, and I get a great workout myself. And I really love to be with people and communicate and share my passion for the art form. So that's the difference. And the other difference is that there's an opportunity to perform if they want it. They can have it, and I could raise them up to that level, and we'll go out and perform together. So that's the difference. It's not, you know, large classes. It's a very small class with a lot of intensive teaching, and, you know, a very good experience from both ends, from my end and from their end. And right now, in the conditioning class, I have a young girl who's only 16 who had a bad accident in a dance class where she jumped up, the choreographer asked her to jump up in the air about 3 feet, fall to her knees, which is crazy, and then go into a back bend, a complete back bend. Well, she pulled out her sacroiliac joint and suffered several years and almost went in for hip replacement, but luckily didn't, because the chiropractor caught it and adjusted her lower back, and now she's in good shape, and she's taking the conditioning class that I'm offering that uses weights on the arms and the legs. And I based that class on Jill Barrett's technique, who offered this class to the Joffrey Company. This is a special class for, was a special class for ballet dancers recovering from injuries, and it's a whole workout done on the floor. But what I did was I incorporated weights, so it gives you a more intensive experience and really builds muscle very fast because of the extra weights. So she's doing well in it, and I always ask them how they're doing, how they're feeling, and are they, you know, suffering pain to hold back if they are, or will modify the exercise. So there's that, you know, interaction, which is different than having 50 people in a class, or 30 or 40, whatever it is. So that's what makes it different.
That's fantastic. Let's give that website out again. It's EugeneModernDance.com. And also your email, too. There's an email available for people to make contact. Right, Peggy?
Yes. You can reach me through an email through Eugene Modern Dance, or you can just contact me through my email, which is SOOM, as in Mary, at PACINFO, PACINFO.com, no K in it, so Zoom at PACINFO.com, and I'll respond to you immediately. And
terrific.
My phone, call me on my cell phone, 541-954-9733.
Now,
954-9733, sorry. Yeah.
How did your father influence you in your life and career? I guess your father has had an influence that has been long-lasting, huh?
Yes, very much so. Well, he was very inspiring in a sort of strange way. He wasn't in art. He was into science. And he was born in major poverty from a Polish immigrant. He had a brother and sister and lived on Ludlow Street, Lower New York, Lower East Side. And he was very poor. His father abandoned the family at an early age. And he was out and about walking with no shoes on the streets of New York, and he found a crystal set, which is a radio, basically a radio. And he found this, and he became very curious and took it apart and put it together. He was about 9 or 10 when he did this, and he started to gain a fascination with electronics. Well, make a long story short, from that point on, he stayed with it. He went to the City College in New York, which was free at the time, and he gradually earned a PhD in electrical engineering. And my bedroom was right next door to his workshop, and I would hear him working on his work, doing his work. And when I say I would hear him, which that means that he was a ham radio operator, and he would call people in all parts of the world and communicate with people all over the place. This was before the internet, don't forget. This was about 1950. And he knew the Morse code. He taught my mother the Morse code and also me a little bit of the Morse code. And he did-da-da-da-da-da all night. I could hear him. And then what he decided to do was to get a better reception. He strung kites. He would go up on the roof and fly a kite. And most of the buildings at that time were about 5 or 6 stories high. Ours was 5 stories. We'd go up on the roof, and he'd fly a kite and land it on a building in the direction he wanted to go, through China or India or South America or wherever he wanted, in that direction. Then he'd land the kite in that direction, and then he would land it, then he would go over, and then before he went over, he would tie the end of the string to a wire. And my job was to unravel the wire, and he would go to the other roof and pull the string all the way across, could be 1 or 2 or 3 blocks, to that roof. And so he would basically anchor a wire, which was an antenna, in different directions so he could more easily communicate or in better contact with all these places. So that was fascinating to me, and really it didn't really have to do with dance, but it had a lot to do with space and communication. And also his intensity. He went to night school for many years while he was supporting the family, my family, three girls and my mother and himself. And he went to night school for about 12 years till he got his PhD. And I witnessed that, and it just made me, you know, very firm in the idea of perseverance and endeavoring to see something, and it's work, it's all hard work. But in the end, it could have a lot of great rewards. So you just have to say, is it worth it to yourself? And it is, if you can see, you know, that pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, you might say. So anyway, he was a big inspiration, and I want to acknowledge him.
That's tremendous. It's great to have that, too, that family connection. I mean, it propels you forward, too, knowing that you've had that support system like that. Now, tell us about modern dance itself, or in this case, post-modern dance. And where do you think modern dance is actually headed? I want to just let the audience know we're talking with Peggy Sumel, who is an award-winning dancer and choreographer and instructor. She's with Eugene Modern Dance in Eugene, Oregon, and she is highly decorated from Juilliard all the way to Oregon and everywhere in between. 50-plus years of a wealth. What a life, too, and I'm sure you've experienced so many things that have been amazing, and you've worked with so many other comparable talents. You could probably go on for hours and hours just talking about your fabulous experiences. Tell us about postmodern dance, and where do you think modern dance is headed?
Right. Well, postmodern dance was an American dance movement during the 1960s and 70s. And like other cultural phenomena of the time, it was a rebellion against traditional ideas and assumptions. Postmodernists questioned the established perimeters of dance and pushed dance and art to new levels. The movement was short-lived, but it planted the seeds for new genres in dance and performance art. The postmodern dance movement grew out of the modern dance movement, which began in the early 20th century in America. By the 1950s, dancers began to move past the rigid formality and traditions of genres like ballet and modernism. And even though modern dance had a freedom, it began to become more technical because it was competing against ballet. So it realized that in order for it to attract audiences, it had to be well-crafted, and the bodies had to look good and perform well and execute jumps, big jumps, many turns, etc. So it began to almost resemble ballet, because many modern dancers began to take ballet because of the competition. The most famous of these pioneers was Anna Halpern, who based her choreography on real experiences and not classical works. Her group, the Dancers Workshop, usually avoided traditional technique and often performed outdoors instead of on the conventional stage. Another modern dance pioneer, Robert Dunn, believed that the process of art was more significant than the end product. Merce Cunningham experimented with the relationship between dance and music and created choreography that was unrelated to the music it was accompanied by. And then came the Judson Dance Theater. Several dancers who studied under these three choreographers revolutionized dance by creating their own movement, postmodern dance. In 1962, these dancers formed a collective to perform dance experiments that rebelled against modern dance traditions. They practiced and performed at New York's Old Judson Church that took the name Judson Dance Theater. This group became the founders of postmodern dance movement, which adopted the ideas that dance can be anything. Even everyday movement can be performed anywhere, not just the stage, and that anyone could be a dancer, no formal training required, only the desire to dance. And so postmodernists believe that all the body's movements could constitute a dance if placed in the right context. More thinkers than dancers, these choreographers focused more on intellectual process of creating the dance and the end result. The Judson dancers also favored combining dance with other artistic mediums, including film, photography, painting, speaking, and of course music. The principal Judson Dance Theater choreographers were truly pioneers, not just in dance, but in art itself. Tricia Brown, and an article was written about her in the Sunday Times, New York Sunday Times, about 3 weeks ago, fantastic article. She was the first to defy gravity with her choreography by using harnesses to make dancers fly and walk down walls. She also favored using alternative spaces for performances, including rooftops. And so the reason I talked about rooftops with my father was that soon after I went on the roof, and you have to be careful when you're flying kites on a roof.
Yeah.
Soon after that,
stay away from the antenna.
She was choreographing pieces on rooftops and recording them. And you can see photographs of these pieces in articles, or if you just Google Tricia Brown, you can, you know, come down with her pictures and of her pieces. Her choreography featured unusual and startling context for the human body and fluid, unpredictable movements. Yvonne Rainer favored including artists of other disciplines in her choreography and went on to become a successful filmmaker. She favored using the everyday body as opposed to the performing body. That is, the everyday body meaning anybody's body. You don't have to be technically proficient. She favored using the everyday body, and meaning the dancers performed choreographed movements with a mundane attitude, thereby challenging traditional ideas of performing by minimizing the dramatic side of dance. And up until then, there was a lot of drama in dance, but she just decided to take that out of it and see what she came up with. Simone Forte experimented with animal movements in her choreography and collaborated with musicians and filmmakers in her work. She also featured dancers who spoke aloud while performing. And Steve Paxton created the contact improvisation method, which is fairly popular today and in many cities, where two or more people move together in almost constant, spontaneous contact. He often used everyday movements such as walking or running, because he believed that dance should be possible for all able-bodied people, not just a select few who participated in years of technical study, such as ballet. And then came the Grand Union. The original Judson Dance Theater disbanded in 1964, but a second group, including Twyla Tharp, Rudy Perez, and Rudy Perez was a good friend of mine who I knew from Dance Theater Workshop, great guy, and Meredith Monk, whose works, many works I've seen, at the time that I was in New York, they continued the founder's ideas there into the 70s. Another postmodern dance collective, the Grand Union, consisted of 9 choreographers and dancers who performed together from 1970 to 76. This group, started by Rainier, featured group improvisations, included spontaneous as well as choreographed movement. They used gesture, dance, and voice in performances and loosely constructed soundtrack of songs, music, and even silence. Since Grand Union used so much improvisation, each performance was unpredictable and unique. Unlike traditional companies, each member of Grand Union took turns as a leader. And what followed postmodernism? Postmodern dance was a relatively short-lived movement in terms of history, but it was a stepping stone to other artistic endeavors. Performing art, a movement featuring theatrical events realized through loosely structured combinations of events, grew out of the collaboration between dance and other art forms. Dancers like Twyla Tharp put their own stamp on postmodern theory and began a return to more structured and choreography, making way for the contemporary dance genre of today. So that's my hit on it. And I would say I'm a modernist, not postmodernist. My background has been a lot of technique, but I experiment a lot with many different art forms, and I like to collaborate with artists, whatever their style or whatever their form.
Style of
and
form.
I get very stimulated by that. So
that's phenomenal.
That's kind of what
would
I'm
you believe
to.
Our half
on
hour
our website,
is already up?
Pardon me?
The half hour is already done.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
I know. It went fast, huh?
Fast as lightning.
It always goes fast. But you will be back with us, and we'll get further into it. We have so many more questions to ask, too, and I thoroughly look forward to it. And, again, you will be back with us next week.
That's right.
Same time on the
next
first
week.
Yeah, I look forward to
8 o'clock Eastern, right.
Eastern Standard Time.
And Eastern Standard, 8 o'clock. And I will also at that time let you know exactly what my workshops, classes in the future will be, the times and so on.
Terrific. So that'd be awesome. Peggy, I appreciate it very much, and thanks for being on today's show, and we'll wish you a fabulous weekend. I hope you had a good time with me on the show today.
Yes. Yes.
Excellent. Appreciate that. Yes. And we'll talk to you next week. Enjoy your weekend.
Hey, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Take care now. Our special guest, Peggy Sumel of Eugene Modern Dance. Are you interested in modern dance? Want to learn more about choreography and moving in harmony with nature? At Eugene Modern Dance, award-winning dancer and choreographer Peggy Sumel offers instruction to the many fascinating methods of modern dance located in the gorgeous landscape that is Eugene, Oregon. Classes and workshops are available for anyone and everyone who would like to see the benefits of moving the human body in a progressive, expressive, and beautiful way. Eugene Modern Dance is the place where every level of dancer is welcome. For more information, be sure and visit them at eugenemoderndance.com. This is Jim Masters. Thanks for joining us on Close Up Talk Radio. Enjoy your evening and check us out weeknights and weekdays for fascinating guests from around the world right here on Close Up Talk Radio. Take care.